named Gajendra Mokshana, where he went to a temple of Lord Vishnu. He then came to Panagadi, a holy place where he saw the deities of Lord Ramchandra and Sita. Report. The Gajendra Mokshana temple is sometimes mistaken for a temple of Lord Shiva. It is about 2 miles south of the city of Kaivera. Actually, the deity is not of Lord Shiva, but of Vishnu. Panagadi is about 30 miles south of the Tinebeli. Formerly, the temple there contained the deity of Sri Ramchandra. But later, the devotees of Lord Shiva replaced Lord Ramchandra with the deity of Lord Shiva named Brahmeshwara or Ramalinga Shiva. Later, the Lord went to Chantapur, where he saw the deities of Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman. He then went to Vaikuntha and saw the temple of Lord Vishnu there. This Chantapura is sometimes called Chenganura and is located in the state of Tribankura. A temple of Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman is located there. Sri Vaikuntha, about 4 miles north of Aloyara, Tunanagari, and 60 miles southeast of Tinebeli, is situated on the bank of the Tamrapani River. Malaya Parvati Kaila Agastya Bandhan Kanya Kumari Tanhan Kaila Darshan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Malaya Parvat and offered prayers to Agastya Muni. He then visited a place known as Kanya Kumari, presently Cape Comorin. Purport. The range of mountains in South India beginning at Kerala and extending up to Cape Comorin is called Malaya Parvat. Concerning Agastya, there are 4 opinions. 1, there is a temple of Agastya Muni in the village of Agastyampally in the district of Tanjore. There is a temple of Skanda on a hill known as Shivagiri, and it is supposed to have been established by Agastya Muni. 3, some say that near Cape Comorin, there is a hill known as Patia, which is supposed to have served as Agastya Muni's residence. There is another place known as Agastya Malaya, which is a range of hills on both sides of the Tamrapani River. Cape Comorin itself is known as Kanyakumari. Amritalai deki Sri Ramagura Hari Malara Desheti Oila Yatavara Hari. After visiting Kanyakumari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Amritala, where he saw the deity of Sri Ramchandra. Thereafter he went to a place known as Malara Desh, where a community of Bataharis lived. Report. North of Malara Desh is South Kannada, to the east of Kunga and Mahisur. To the south is Cochin, and to the west is the Arabian Sea. As far as the Bataharis are concerned, they are a nomadic community. They camp wherever they like and have no fixed place of residence. Outwardly, they take to the dress of sannyasis, but their real business is stealing and cheating. They allure others to supply women for their camp, and they cheat many women and keep them within their community. In this way, they increase their population. In Bengal, there is also a similar community. Actually, all over the world, there are nomadic communities whose business is simply to allure, cheat, and steal innocent women. Tamala Kartika Deki Aila Vetapani Raghunatha Deki Thahan Panchila Rajani. After visiting Malara Desh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Tamal Karatik and then to Vetapani, where there he saw the temple of Raghunath, Lord Ramchandra, and passed the night. Gosanira Sange Nahi Krishna Dasa Brahman Atahari Sahatahan Aladarashan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accompanied by his servant called Krishnadas. He was a Brahmin, but he met with the Bataharis there. Sridana Dekan Tanrad Lobhajanula Arya Saral Viprera Bodhi Nashakaila. The Bataharis allured the Brahmin Krishnadas, who was simple and gentle. By virtue of their bad association, they polluted his intelligence. Prati uti aila vipra batahari gare tahara udeshe prabhu aila satvare. The allured Krishnadas went to their place early in the morning just to find him out. The Lord also went there very quickly. Asiya kahina sabha batahari gani amara brahmanatu miraka ki karani. Upon reaching their community, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Bataharis, "Why are you keeping my Brahmin assistant?" Amiha sanyasi deka tumiha sanyasi more duka deha tomar nyaya nahi vasi. I am in the renounced order of life, and so are you. Yet you are purposely giving me pain. I do not see any good logic in this. Upon hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Bataharis came running with weapons in their hands, desiring to hurt the Lord. Tara astra tara ange phade hate bhaite kanda kanda hoila Batahari palai chari bhate. However, their weapons fell from their hands and struck their own bodies. When some of the Bataharis were thus cut to pieces, the others ran away in the four directions. Batahari gari maha utila krandan keshitari viprelaya korila garnan. While there was much roaring and crying at the Batahari community, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed Krishnadas by the hair and took him away. Sedina chali oila payaswani tire snan kari gela adi keshava mandire. That very night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his assistant Krishnadas arrived in the bank of the Payaswini River. They took their bath and then went to see the temple of Adi Keshava. Keshava de kiya preme avishtak oila nati stuti nritya gita bahuta korila. When the Lord saw the Adi Keshava temple, he was immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy. Offering various obeisances and prayers, he chanted and danced. Prema deki loke hoila mahachamakara sarvaloka koila prabhur paramasakara. All the people there were greatly astonished to see the ecstatic pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
they all received the Lord very well. Mahabhakta Ganasaha Tahan Gos Dikoila Brahma Samithad Yaya Punti Tahan Paila. In the temple of Adi Keshava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed spiritual matters among highly advanced devotees. While there, he found a chapter of the Brahma Samhita. Punti Paya Prabhu Hoila Ananda Apara Kampasru Sveda Stamba Pulaka Vikara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greatly happy to find a chapter of that scripture and symptoms of ecstatic transformation, trembling, tears, perspiration, trance, and jubilation were manifest in his body. Siddhanta Shastra Nahi Brahma Samhita Rasam Govinda Mahima Gyaner Paramakaran Alpakshari Kahi Siddhanta Apar Sakala Vaishnava Shastra Madhye Atisar. There is no scripture equal to the Brahma Samhita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned. Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in Brahma Samhita, it is essential among all Vaishnava literatures. The Brahma Samhita is a very important scripture. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the fifth chapter from the Adi Keshava temple. In that fifth chapter, the philosophical conclusion, or Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference, is presented. The chapter also presents methods of devotional service. The 18th syllable Vedic hymn discourses on the soul, the super soul, and fruitive activity. An explanation of Kama Gayatri, Kam Bij, and the original Mahavishnu, and a specific description of the spiritual world, specifically Goloka Vrindavan. Brahma Samhita also explains the demigod Ganesh, the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the origin of the Gayatri Mantra, the form of Govinda, and his transcendental position and abode. The living entities, the highest goal, the goddess Durga, the meaning of austerity, the five gross elements, love of Godhead, impersonal Brahman, the initiation of Lord Brahma, and the vision of transcendental love enabling one to see the Lord. The steps of devotional service are also explained. The mind, Yoga Nidra, the goddess of fortune, devotional service, spontaneous ecstasy, incarnations beginning with Lord Ramchandra, deities and conditions, the conditioned soul and its duties, the truth about Lord Vishnu, prayers, Vedic hymns, Lord Shiva, Vedic literature, personalism and impersonalism, good behavior, and many other subjects are also discussed. There is also a description of the sun, God, and the universal forms of the Lord. All these subjects are conclusively explained in a nutshell in this Brahma Samhita. Bahu yatne se punti nila lekaya ananta padmanabha oila haran harasita haya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu copied the Brahma Samhita and afterwards with great pleasure went to a place known as Ananta Padmanabha. Purport: considering Ananta Padmanabha, one should refer to Madhya Lila chapter 1, text 115. Dina dui Padmanabhir Koila Darashan Anande Dikita Oila Sri Janardana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 2 or 3 days at Ananta Padmanabha and visited the temple there. Then with great ecstasy he went to see the temple of Janardana. Report: the temple of Sri Janardana is situated 26 miles north of Trivandrum, near Barakala's railway station. Dinadui tahankari kirtan naratan ayaswini ashiyadeki sankar narayan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced at Sri Janardhan for 2 days. He then went to the bank of the pious Srini River and visited the temple of Shankar Narayan. Chotama Sri Janardana Padmanabha Vasudeva Kolegarshan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited the Vishnu temples of Anantadev, Purushottam, Sri Janardhan, Padmanabha, and Vasudev. Report. The temple of Ananta Padmanabha Vishnu is situated in the Trivandrum district. This temple is very famous in those quarters. Another Vishnu temple named Janardhan is situated 26 miles north of Trivandrum district near a railway station called Barakala. In the Madhya Lila, 9th chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find, that day the Lord went to the bank of the Payaswini River. After bathing, he went to the Adikeshava temple, where he met with the great devotees there. And it was there that he obtained the ancient manuscript of the 5th chapter of Sri Bhama Samhita. This gave the Lord unlimited joy, and divine ecstatic symptoms appeared in his body, trembling, weeping, perspiring. He was stunned, thrilled with ecstasy. As a scripture embodying perfect truths, Siddhanta, Sri Brahma Samhita has no equal. It is the best of all holy books, proclaiming the glories of the Supreme Lord Govinda. Endless perfect truths are expressed in few words. It is the essence of the Vaishnava scriptures. The Lord had that manuscript copied very carefully. Then he joyfully went to visit the temple of Ananta Padmanabha. What more can I say than this? At least I might say that if this scripture is reckoned as one of the most ancient scriptures, then it is an unprecedented and truly authoritative source of the teachings of Krishna Bhakti, devotion for the Supreme Lord Krishna. Again, if it is suggested that this scripture was not originally found in this province, Bengal, so it was actually authored by Sri Sri Mahaprabhu, what could be more happy for us? By obtaining any work of Siddhanta written by Sri Mahaprabhu, no trace of doubt can ever remain in the world of Vaishnava thought. However one may consider it, this holy book, Sri Brahma Samhita, is worshipable to every devotee. Following is a preface by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Sri Brahma Samhita. All glories to the Divine Master and the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It is no secret that prior to its discovery by Sri Gaurasundar, Sri Brahma Samhita was not propagated in India as was the great literature previously expounded in the forest of Naimisha, the transcendental treatise, Srimad Bhagavatam. The word Brahma or Brahman means the Vedas, and the substantial reality established by the Vedas. And the substantial reality established by the Vedas is Purushottam, the ultimate predominant or male personality. Any philosophy that ignores the ultimate personality while adopting the term Apurushaya, meaning divine supramundane or superhuman, in order to disprove mundane conceptualization, must need fall within the category of peripheral doctrines or religions. Beyond even any consideration of mundanity, the teachings of devotion for the supreme reality, the supreme personality of Godhead, that were revealed within the heart of four-headed Brahma from the supramental anthologies, Vedas, have been described in the 100 chapters that form the treatise, Brahma Samhita. As this fifth chapter is supremely beneficial for the soul, it has come to hold the most worshipable position for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or faithful devotees in the line of Sri Chaitanya Dev. In this respect, it is noteworthy that in the philosophy of the divine succession stemming from Lord Brahma, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, the substantial or axiomatic truth has been revealed within the fundamental four slokas, Chatusloki, of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no question of the Supreme Personality of or Pradamater, Purushottam, being in the same category of any other persons or predominators, males or Purushas, of this mundane world. They are clearly distinct from one another, in that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is in all respects the absolute Lord or predominator of the female or predominated factor, Prakriti. While the living being or jiva is tightly shackled by the predominated factor in the shape of material nature, and only through his identification with the mundane plane must he refer to the revelation of the Supreme Lord as supramundane. Sri Dham, mentioned in the first shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, has no association with the affairs of the mundane world. The meaning of the word Dham is refuge and light. Nothing is visible without the help of light. The basis of the light, which is to be worshipped and seen within revelation, has been established to be the nature of a person. Beyond the mutable and conditional relativity found within the mundane conception of personality, the eternality of the personal mainstay of light itself is situated in the divine realm. The viewpoint of non-differentiation, where the seer and the seen are ultimately considered to be one, is ruled by the incomplete, unwholesome measure of the mundane kingdom. Maya Shakti, or the mundane, charming, come deluding potency, has not the power to restrict the infinity of her Lord of immeasurable potency, Maheshwar Vishnu. In describing the worshipable object of the fifth chapter of this book, the fallacious and mundanely fabricated philosophy of non-differentiation has been disproved. The purport traced in Brahma Samhita is most favorable in saving us from the mundane views ascription of vulgarity to the creative conception when elucidated in terms of efficient or material and instrumental causes. This book is utterly devoid of the lowly connotations that would titillate the poor minds of those obsessed with vulgarity. Rather, we must know that the aim of this holy text is to provide new strength and relief to those sapped of their vital energy through their perverse tendencies. By the mercy of perfect philosophy, Sudarshan, a study of the five concluding slokas of the book will afford us our eternal wisdom, being intended to meticulously teach us the genuine revelation of the supreme element of Godhead, while elucidating how that element is observed distortedly through emphasis on the alternative fourfold doctrines of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, religiosity, material gain, material desire, and liberation. Bringing about the doctrine of fivefold worship, panchopasana, with the advent of such eternal wisdom in the heart, one may no longer harbor animosity toward the holy abode, Sri Dham, and the need for asserting oneself by preaching the doctrine of non-differentiation will no longer be felt. It is through good fortune that one may experience beyond the plains of Devi Dham and Mahesh Dham the transcendental variegatedness of the divine realm that is the Lord's personal abode, the plane where deception cannot stand, without depending on the deceit inherent to the conditional plane. In the consideration of eternal joy in God's transcendence, we shall find his realm to be the affairs of the transcendental. So the treatise that describes all these transcendental subject matters is known as Apurushaya Samhita. It is possible for persons of impure heart to be relieved of mundane enjoyment by the power of practicing devotional life, sadhana bhakti. Persons absorbed in mundane enjoyment or exploitation are unable to take refuge in devotion or bhakti. They are ever afflicted, being tied to the stake of their mundane deeds, karma. They cannot be relieved of the obsession of mundane lust by any other method than singing the glories of Kamadev, the transcendental lord of all desires. But an adverse fruit will come to those who consider Kamadev in the same category as their illicit lust. When we attain the mercy of the Supreme Lord by faithfully following the four-headed Lord Brahma, and when we become fit recipients of the Supreme Lord's grace as a result of singing with a pure heart the divine songs of his unending glories, at that moment we shall know the genuine fruition of our reading, recitation, or singing of Brahma Samhita. Then we shall be able to know that in the highest plane of divine service, seva, to the factual Supreme Godhead, is found reality the beautiful, Sri Radha Govinda, in the selfsame form of Sri Gaura. The lower hemisphere of the divine abode, Goloka, is the plane of 2.5 of the total 5 divine serving dispositions, rasas. Situated below that is the abode called Mahesh Dham, and below Mahesh Dham is the material world of 14 planes called Devi Dham. The worldly desires of the residents of Devi Dham who wander throughout the universe are withdrawn in Mahesh Dham. But Mahesh Dham's conception of desirelessness is illuminated by the purifying agent of service. That purifying agent in the form of this Brahma Samhita has revealed the acme of nectarine love for Sri Radha Govinda by elucidating the fifth aim of life, and the gatherer of that nectar, Sri Gaura Sundar, the beautiful golden lord, has distributed it to the souls in this world, showing us his nature of supreme magnanimity and his pastimes of bestowing the most precious gift of divine love for Krishna, the Saraswati. Satchidananda Bhakti Vinod. Lord Brahma meticulously collected, compiled this gem, Sri Brahma Samhita, which is a vast mine of perfect conclusions or siddhanta. Thus did Brahma sing the unending glories of Sri Krishna. These holy prayers are entered into the 5th chapter of the book. They are the supreme wealth of humanity. On his travels throughout South India, Sri Gauranga, the ocean of grace and supreme friend of the souls, blinded in the darkness of this age of Kali, retrieved this divine treasure of Brahma Samhita just to deliver the souls surrendered unto him. The Sanskrit commentary of this work flowed from the pen of Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhu, who is acclaimed by the pious intelligentsia as the greatest philosopher the world has ever known. His commentary was evolved through deep study of the monumental archives of the established Vedic scriptures. In his benevolence, the venerable Sri Jiva gave this gift to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Once my divine master, Sri Bipin Bihari Prabhu, instructed me to write, expanding on the commentary of Srila Jiva Goswami. So it is with a joyful heart that this humble servitor has presented a few words herein. If the devotees reflect on these writings with the pure theistic intellect of distinguishing mundanity from transcendence, the heart's desire of this servitor will be fulfilled, because pure devotion will be preached in the world. Sri Rupa, Sri Jiva, Sri Sanatan, thy grace is like an ocean. You are life and soul for the devotees. The purport of the commentary is deep and unfathomable like the ocean, at the edge of which I stand benumbed. You must graciously ordain that divine potency enter my words. Bringing to bloom with great care the beautiful flower buds, which are the words of Sri Jiva, and offering my prostrate obeisances unto the divine master and the supreme lord, Sri Krishna Chandra, I shall know myself to be blessed when I can offer these flowers to the hand of the pure devotee, such is my heart's aspiration.
Darshan.